We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, as I've been away for a few weeks, we've had a little bit of a gap. We're not on the Beatitudes, so I'll give you a quick recap of where we're at. You remember this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is basically Jesus speaking to his disciples. It's really aimed at those who would be his followers. It's aimed at the people, primarily the 12, but also other disciples who were sat there listening as well. So it's aimed at the people who desire to follow Jesus. It's those that seek to serve him that this is really aimed at. And it gives us, if you like, what we might call a summary of the Christian character. This whole sermon is to do with how we should be living, our attitudes and all these sorts of things. And the Beatitudes particularly, which we're still looking at tonight, are, if you like, an expression of the Christian character, what we should all be like. The Beatitudes are not there to be individual things that we aim towards if we think we fancy that one, or we like that one, or we think we're probably quite good at that one. These are to be taken as a whole, and they sum up in many ways the Christian character. They're blessings that God gives upon us. They're not blessings that come to us naturally. They're not the sort of things that are natural to us. But they're the result of following Jesus. These are spiritual blessings that bring about spiritual happiness. And we've looked so far, those of you who've been with us, at the first three of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we're going to look this evening at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We've noted, haven't we, as we look through these, that all of these things come about as a result of meeting with God. Being poor in spirit is an understanding of who we are before God. It makes us aware of our situation before God, that we are desperately in need of God in our lives. When we stand before a holy God, we have no option but to recognise that need, to recognise that position in his presence. We are humbled, and any pride that you might have in ourselves is instantaneously wiped away. When we meet with the Creator of all things, it's so awe-inspiring that we instantly become aware of our own insignificance, if you like, how pathetic and how feeble we are. Poverty of spirit is what happens when we meet with the living God. And if you like, it's the first step. It's the first way of understanding our situation. And we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless we have become poor in spirit. Following on from that is the second: blessed are those who mourn. As we become aware of our God and his holiness, and we glimpse, if you like, our own unworthiness, it causes us to mourn over our sin, to sorrow over where we've let God down, and to desire to be holy. There's nothing that we see within us that's really of any good or any value, and we mourn over our own sinful souls. And yet we can also give thanks to God because he is renewing us and making us his new creations. The horror of our sin is only matched by the love and the grace and the mercy of our God. God lifts us up. He cleanses us from our sin. And those who mourn, Jesus promises, will be comforted. And the comfort we receive is the comfort of the Holy Spirit as he works in our lives. As we repent and turn to God, our sin is removed. We know God's forgiveness in our lives. And we know that it's been completely removed by the precious blood of the Lamb at Calvary. It's not just hidden away, not just forgotten about. It's done away with. And that's why we find a blessing through mourning over our sin. Because when we come to that point of mourning, we will also know the comfort of knowing those sins forgiven. We can rejoice in what Christ has done for us. That's the comfort that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Then, last time we looked at the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And again, it follows on from verse 2. When we understand our need of God, when we see how much we have been forgiven, it causes a naturally humble spirit within us. We realize that we're actually no better than anyone else. And our desire becomes that other people should come to know Jesus Christ. This is real meekness when we consider others before ourselves. That's what being meek is all about. And God promises us that when we come to that position, we will again receive blessing and encouragement because we know Him so much better. This evening we're going to move on to the fourth of these Beatitudes and to see what it means, to consider what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness, which again follows on naturally from those preceding it. So what does it mean to hunger and to thirst? Well, I guess it's actually something that's we're all quite aware of in many ways, aren't we? Jesus uses a picture here that's quite easy for us to understand. All of us know what it is to be hungry. All of us know what it is to be thirsty. We're also familiar, aren't we, with Jesus using this kind of language, this kind of example previously in Scripture. I mean, in the house groups, we've been doing going through John, and we've just looked at the idea of how Jesus used the idea of thirsting after water when he spoke at the woman at the well in Samaria, how he told her he was the living water which could quench her thirst eternally. He used the idea, again, of the bread of life and hungering after bread using that idea. He talked to his disciples when he told them he was the bread of heaven. And again, he will give them eternal food. So we've come across this idea of hunger and thirst throughout Jesus' teaching, really. Now, of course, there are degrees of hunger, aren't there? When you think about it, there are degrees of hunger, degrees of thirst. But it's important to realise here that Jesus is not using this word hunger in a sense of starvation. Some commentators, if you read about this sometimes, they suggest that we need to be spiritually starving to understand what Jesus means here. But I don't think that's the case. I think what Jesus is trying to get at here is to do with, if you like, normal hunger and normal thirst that we all experience at some time. You know, we all know what it's like, don't we, to be hungry to a degree. We're not starving, most of us. We don't have to worry really about where our next meal comes from, but we do get hungry. You know, if we're used to having regular meals, and for some reason we horror miss one, you know, our stomach begins to tell us, doesn't it? We get hungry. Our bodies tell us that we need some food, some sustenance. And the same thing happens when we're thirsty. You know, we need to drink. Survive, don't we? We need liquid in our bodies. We need the water to make sure our bodies are sustained. And we become thirsty when we've not had enough to drink. So in fact, you know, these things, being hungry and thirsty, are the way our body tells us that we need food and water. So when Jesus talks about being hungry and thirsty, he's really talking about something everybody's aware of on an everyday basis. It's not which is natural to us. It's a natural occurrence to become hungry, to become thirsty. I don't know about you, but I do tend to get hungry quite often. Not in the sense that I'm starving, as you can tell. But, you know, I go through the day and I like to nibble on things here and there. And, you know, I understand there are often people who are starving, who are genuinely starving. They actually lose their appetite. They can't eat because they become so hungry, they actually lose their appetite. But the picture Jesus gives us here is really of someone who's got a normal hunger and a normal thirst. And it needs to be satisfied on a daily basis for sustenance, doesn't it? You know, we also use this terminology, don't we, for other things. If you think about it, if you think we use the word hunger and thirst when we talk about desires for things, don't we? If you have a great desire for something, you might be said you're hungry for that or you're thirsty for that. You know, we talk about athletes, the Olympics, you're going to hear about people who are hungry for victory. They're hungry, they want to win. And we use that term to mean a desire. We talk about people in business who are thirsty for success, that they desire that success. So this idea of hungering and thirsting also carries the idea of desire. Now, of course, we need to be careful about what we hunger and thirst after. I have a weakness for salty snacks. I like crisps and peanuts and all those sorts of things. But I know they're very good for me. And neither do those sorts of snacks really satisfy you for very long. If that's all I ever wanted, if that's all I ever desired, if that's all I ever hungered for, it would be a pretty poor diet, wouldn't it? And I'd probably get high blood pressure and die quite quickly. So when I was at home today, I went home for lunch, I made myself a sensible meal. And I had fresh vegetables as well. You know, so what I needed, my body needed, wasn't it? Something sensible, a good meal that was sensible. I did have some crisps later, but that's another matter. But those salty types of snacks, those things that we snack upon, rather than satisfying a hunger, can actually make you more hungry or more thirsty. Especially if you eat lots of salty things, that makes you very thirsty. Same is true of what we drink, isn't it? I have to say, when you're really thirsty, there's nothing more satisfying, I find, than a nice glass of ice cold water. Other drinks don't always bring that satisfaction. You know, alcohol, coffee, they're diuretics, and they actually make you thirsty. They dehydrate you. And by drinking things like that, you become even more thirsty. We may enjoy these things, but ultimately, they don't satisfy the needs that we have. So it's important that the things we desire to satisfy our hunger should be the things that are best for us. They should be the things that are really going to satisfy that need. So as Christians, what is it we should be hungering and thirsting after? Well, Jesus gives us the answer here, doesn't he? He says, righteousness. Righteousness is what we should be hungering and thirsting after. We're not to hunger after happiness. We're not to thirst after material things. We're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the truth is, even for us as Christians, we tend to seek after the salty snacks of our own pleasure and happiness rather than desire the righteousness, which is what's going to bring us blessing and happiness. I want just again, that what Jesus is talking about here, when he talks about righteousness, he's not righteous in the sense of becoming a Christian. Because in that sense, when we become a Christian, we are made righteous once and for all. We are made righteous in the sight of God once and for all. When we turn to him in repentance and faith, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. And it's important for us to understand that. The Bible talks about our righteousness being imputed to us. And that literally means to be put within us. It's almost like, you know, being injected in. And it's righteousness that we earn for ourselves. Only one man has ever lived a righteous life, a life without sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is his righteousness that is given to us. We can never have our own righteousness. The only righteousness we can ever experience is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn to Jesus, he gives us his righteousness. Another picture the Bible gives us of this is our clothes are like filthy rags. And those clothes are taken from us. And in their place, we are given the pure white robes of Jesus. That's the picture we have there in Revelation, where those people are standing in white robes before the throne of God, washed, it says, in the blood of the Lamb. Those robes have been given them. They weren't their own. They've been given them. It is the righteousness of Jesus that is given to these people. And that's a really important thing to understand, because once we've been given that righteousness of Jesus, once it's been imputed into us, it can never be taken away. It's a gift of God for those who turn to him in repentance and faith. It can never be taken away. So, if we're already made righteous then, what's Jesus referring to when he says here we should hunger and thirst after righteousness? What does this have to do with everyday Christian living? The righteousness we should be seeking after, the righteousness we should be hungering and thirsting after, is to do with the way we live day by day. It's being made holy. It's the process of sanctification. You know, following on from meeting with Almighty God, when we understand our sin, when we come before him we become humbled in God's presence. The desire that follows on from that is the desire to live as Jesus lived. It's to follow him, to serve him, to live as he lived. And he lived a righteous life. So it becomes our natural desire as Christians to want to be like Jesus. It becomes our desire to want to be righteous as he was righteous. We want to get rid of the old self, the self of the life of sin, and in its place, we want to live more and more as Christ did. That's what it means to hunger and thirst for this righteousness. It's to seek to be more like Jesus day by day. And that should be the desire of all of us who belong to Christ. And it flows from knowing God. It flows from the fact that we've met with God, that we've understood our position before God, that we've understood the sin that we've committed before God. We've understood how much God has forgiven us. We are humbled before him, desiring to serve him. And we desire to live as Jesus lived. We all know that in this world we're going to fail. We all know we don't live the way that we ought to live. What we're talking about here is the desire to live a righteous life. It's hungering and thirsting to live as Jesus lived. We may not always succeed, but God will bless us if we have that hunger and that thirst to do so. And there is a promise here, of course, as with all the Beatitudes. There is a promise. And what is the promise? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. That is the promise that Jesus gives those who earnestly seek after him. It's a wonderful promise. The promise that those who hunger and thirst after this righteousness, they will be filled. Notice this is not simply a promise that our hunger and thirst will be satisfied, but rather we will be filled. You know, God doesn't just give us the bare minimum. God is generous, he's gracious, he gives us more. He gives us enough to fill us, not just enough perhaps to satisfy us. When I was in Africa last year, you know, I met with people there who had very, very little food. And some of them were just getting by on just enough to live every day. They certainly weren't filled with food and water. They had just enough. Well, God isn't saying he will give us just enough. He's saying, I will give you a filling. I will give you everything you need to fill your life. That's the promise that God gives to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. As we desire to become more like Christ in our everyday lives, God will meet the need we have to become more like Jesus. He will fill us. He will empower us. When we have that hunger for righteousness, we will become more righteous in the way we live day by day. We will become more like Christ. And that should be the aim and the goal of our walk with God day by day, to become more like Christ. You know, God promises, doesn't he? Well, God says, you know, don't get drunk on alcohol, on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And God fills us. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not some magical experience, as so many Christians seem to think it is. It's not something which is out of the ordinary for a Christian. It should be the norm for every Christian every day, to be filled with God's Spirit. That's what he expects of us. That's what is available to us. And God fills those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So, you know, as with the other elements, if you like, of the Christian character that we've looked at here, hunger and thirsting for righteousness follows on naturally from coming into contact with the living God. You might think, well, I've not got that hunger. I've not got that thirst that I should have. Why not? Well, we can all feel that way. And the answer to the question, why not, is probably we're not coming into contact with God like we should. We're probably not spending the time with God that we should. Because if we're spending time with God, this will come. We will desire to be more like Jesus. We will have that hunger, that desire to be what he wants us to be. It follows naturally from knowing God. So I can only suggest, and you know, I say this to myself as well, but if we don't have that hunger, if we don't have that thirsting after being like Jesus, we need to make sure that our relationship with God is on the right track, that we're spending the time we should with him so that we can be encouraged to be like Jesus. We also need to understand there is no end to this righteous hunger whilst we live on this earth. If I said to you, you know, you're hungry, okay, I'm going to give you one meal and that's it for the rest of your life, it wouldn't be a lot of use to you, would it? Because you'd get hungry again the next day. And that's what it's like spiritually. Every day we live in this world, we need that righteous hunger to be filled, to be met, if you like. And just as each day we hunger and thirst for food, so each day we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we need God to fill us. And as each day our hunger is met by the food that we eat, God will meet our spiritual hunger by the way he fills us with his Holy Spirit. You know, there's a wonderful truth that the more we hunger and thirst for righteousness, the more we will be filled. God doesn't hold back. God doesn't restrict us. There's no ration books with God. The more we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more we will be filled. Each day we will grow more like Jesus until, finally, that day when we will know his righteousness in perfection. When we too stand before the throne of God, clothed in robes of white, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made perfect, made holy, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we will be able to sing those praises along with the people in heaven. But until that day comes, every day we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I can promise you, and I can promise you because God promises it here, that when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled.